الله.
الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى وبعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون. سبحانك وبحمدك، لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفره وأتوب إليك. I want you to imagine two tribes in Medina, two Madani tribes, Aus and Khazraj. Two tribes, remember the names. Number one, Aus, and the other one, Khazraj. These two tribes, for centuries, they were fighting, battling each other because of whatever rivalry they had ongoing. But due to Islam, they reconciled and lived in harmony, where it created that peace amongst them that was never there before. They were there when they came to Rasulullah for the pledge to honor Rasulullah, etc., for protection, things. So these two tribes, Aus and Khazraj. Now, for centuries they were fighting, had their rivalry, extreme rivalry. Now, a Jew once, by the name of Shammas ibn Qais, he harbored malice and hatred towards the Muslims. Faith aside, well, the theological issue aside, the different faith, forget that aside. It was more partly because the Jews profited greatly from these wars. Because when it came to giving the loans, that were extremely usurious, had extreme amounts of interest in there, they were the Jews that were giving the loans. And they'd give it to both parties. So they would profit from the war entirely and from the rivalry between the two tribes. So what he did, it's not enough for some people, it's not enough that, you know, their happiness, they can't see two people reconcile. It impacts them. So he was there, and as he was witnessing this, the hatred reignited when he saw the sight of them sitting in peace and harmony. So what he then decided was to recite some poetry. And poetry reminding them of the battles. Obviously they were profiting from the battles, so they knew what poetry was being said. So clarity on this. So what they would do, at the time of battle, you know, sometimes you see sometimes when there's a fight or something about to happen, people throw insults or say something. Poetry was a language, was a spoken word at the time. So what they would do is they'd speak, like rapping, whatever people use nowadays, but for them it was poetry. So that was used at the time of battle too. At the time of battle, to rile up their army and to enrage the others, they would use that. So he used certain words to show, to remind them of the battles that were once happening. And ghayra, that protected jealousy sort of thing came in. Our tribe, and they were both being reminded. Aus and Khazraj, the two tribes, were being reminded of the previous battles and the previous issues they had. Then emotions rose to the extent that they began raising their swords and saying as-silah, a reference to say, bring your swords, let's prepare for battle. So a euphemism to say, let's go to battle. You want to remind us, you wanted to go like this? So Aus and Khazraj were believers, but on the precipice, right on the edge of battle. Somebody goes to inform Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, this is happening. As soon as this happens, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes there, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, that after becoming reunited through iman, you've gone back to the ways of jahiliyyah, of disunity. Allah then reveals this verse of Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. That all you who believe, adopt God consciousness. And you know, one point to remember, when Allah says adopt God consciousness in the Quran, repeatedly after that he brings a certain additional command. When he brings that additional command, it's a method or a manner in which we can adopt God consciousness. Because it can sound quite arbitrary. How do we do it? So adopt God consciousness. Then after that, Allah then says, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Then do not die, meaning do not die except as believers, meaning remain steadfast. So one part. Number two, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold firm onto the rope of Allah and do not let go. Allah's rope that He's given us, that rope won't break, but you and I can let go. That's the issue. That rope of Allah has given us, it can never break. Allah's rope will always remain. We can always reconnect. We can always unite. But we can choose to let go. We ask Allah that we never let go, But that's our choice. But that rope of Allah will never break. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Then Allah then continues. Because remember, the context to this was the two tribes. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً. Remember the time, remember the bounty that Allah has granted, that you are once enemies. You are once enemies, but through iman, فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِهِ أَخْوَانًا. That after, through iman, you became brothers. After iman, you became brothers. And he mentions there, continues, وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَىٰ You are on the edge, فَمِنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا. You are on the edge of the fire, meaning you are about to fall in. You are about to destroy yourselves. فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا. Then he saved yourselves. Meaning that unity saved them. But two maxims Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions for taqwa. Number one, dying as believers, remaining steadfast upon our iman. And number two, unity. Two maxims Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in here for our collective strength. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Alongside da'wah, these are the successful individuals. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةِ. The believers are brothers. And commentators mention that you can have two blood brothers. If they differ in faith, though they share the same blood, they won't have that same unity the way two Muslim brothers would have. That unity in faith will know that you pain, I pain. Al-Muslimu aqul Muslim. That the Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. You know, when an individual's brother is in pain or is in difficulty, a person feels it. He will try his utmost best. He will know in certain parts that I can't help. I can't assist. He needs to learn. But he still feels that obligation that it's my sibling. It's my own kith and kin. How do I support them in what way? How do I support them? And it happens when you see your younger sibling going through something difficult or an elder sibling. You try and support in whichever way you can. Now think of the example, that same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning that only through iman is there true brotherhood. Because it's meant, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُ, meaning only through the believers is their brotherhood. Two people can differ in faith but share the blood, but that unity won't be as strong as two people who share the same faith but different blood. And you can see that there was once a war taking place, a civil war amongst the Muslims. And one of the Romans at the time, his chiefs said to him, why don't we go and attack the believers at the moment? They're at civil war. He said no. He called in, he requested two dogs to come in. And the dogs were fighting with each other, fighting constantly. And he then brought in another animal, it was a wolf in the thing, there was a king at the time, brought in a wolf and requested that both dogs were fighting each other, but both stopped and faced the common enemy. They're both fighting each other, but both stopped to fight the common enemy. He said, just like these Muslims at civil war, doesn't make a difference. They will stop when we go there. They will reunite and fight the common enemy. Meaning, irrespective of how much hatred or whatever was ongoing at the time, they knew that brotherhood comes first. Islamic brotherhood comes first. Now, Sudan, we know what's ongoing at the time, currently with civil war. But you want to think that this is a place of scholarship, long scholarship. Not only that, they served the ummah with hospitality. When it came to all those people that would travel from West Africa, it served as a gateway for people from Nigeria, Mali, Chad, Niger, all passed through Sudan, specifically Al-Fashir, from that area. And they would be hospitable and provide safe passage for all those that needed to go. And were hospitable for that. So it was a safe route, because remember, all of that wasn't Muslim land, so it wasn't easy to travel through. But to give safe passage, and that was a place where they would know, they would be honored, not just honored, they would be hosted. So, and it's not easy on local people that everyone's traveling through there and you've got to host them. One thing is you have your own food and people pay, but to host them and treat everyone as guests, it requires a special place in your heart for that. And the Sudanese brothers of this area were known for that. They were known for that, to provide safe space. When the Kiswa at one point, because of colonial powers, were prevented from Egypt to go to Mecca for the Kaaba, for the Kiswa, the covering, it was made in Sudan for about 20 years. For 20 years, it was made there and it was brought to Mecca for the covering of the Kaaba. So it was a place where, and long scholarship, حفاظ علماء, the tradition of studying and continuing the tradition of Islamic knowledge and trajectory continuing was there in Sudan. So it holds dear place in our hearts for the ummah. And I said, not only that, innamal mu'minun ikhwa, that the believers are like brothers, in the sense that when one part of the body aches, تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَرَاحُمِهِمْ وَتَوَادِهِمْ وَتَعَاطُفِهِمْ. Rasulullah says that you look at the believers, and in three aspects, فِي تَرَاحُمِهِمْ, their mutual mercy toward each other, mutual compassion, وَتَوَادِهِمْ, their mutual love for each other, وَتَعَاطُفِهِمْ, and their mutual attachment to each other, is like one body. Meaning, how does Rasulullah then qualify that? He says, that when one part of the body aches, the fever, the headache comes. Now if one part of the ummah is aching, how does the other part of the ummah remain free of concern? The ummah, it becomes restless. Just like we see with Palestine and how, mashallah, we took action. We take action. We continue to take action. But another part of the ummah is bleeding and it's in pain. To give you certain statistics, over 14 million people have been displaced since April 2023. Over 14 million. 9 million internally and 5 million refugees. 2.6 million have attempted to return to destroyed or unsafe areas. 30.4 million, over half the population, require humanitarian assistance. 70 to 80% of hospitals in conflict areas are non-functional. Your areas where you need support, non-functional. Over 150,000 people have lost their lives. Remember, we hear about many, many other places, but this is something currently ongoing. Again, we just start to forget there are other places. There are many other places that are ongoing. But one particular place, and we've seen, where we've got the buckets downstairs, is this is an additional place that needs humanitarian aid, and we thought we need to raise awareness on this. Again, alongside that, that doesn't mean that, you know, others aren't assisting, that we take a step back. Our test is, how do we react in these times? This is, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. The people that will pass away will become martyrs. Yes, that will be there for them. But what answer will you and I give? When we had the capacity, we could have done any of these different avenues. One, make dua. How many of us have raised our hands? Yes, that's free. You don't need to be in a financially good situation. Anybody can make dua. How many times have we made dua that will Allah alleviate them from their suffering? Our Palestinian brothers, our Sunni brothers, Kashmiri brothers, wherever oppression is ongoing, raising our hands, a dua of silah al-mu'min, that the dua is a weapon for a believer. We don't recognize the influence of that dua. In Jasirah, we covered. Rasulullah ﷺ, the night before Muhammad ﷺ converted, what was the dua? Allahumma a'izil Islam bi ahabbi hadhaini rajulaini ilayk. Bi Abi Jahl or Abi Umar al-Khattab, that Allah strengthen Islam through Umar or through Abu Jahl. This very following day, Umar radiallahu anhu accepts. The very following day. Understand the power and the impact of dua. Number two, speak up about the oppression of Sudan. People assume there's a civil war, therefore, you know, that's how it is. That's it's just the two forces at play, and that's their own issue. It's part of an ummah. Part of the ummah is in pain, the entire ummah pains. Number three, charity. As I mentioned, they're in desperate need of humanitarian aid. In desperate need. Which is why we've got the boxes downstairs at the moment, going there. And again, it's the 100% donation. Ummah Welfare are raising funds for it. So we've got the boxes downstairs. Try and raise the funds there. Again, whatever is going to happen is going to happen. But what role we play will provide us with an answer on Qiyamah. What answer are we going to be able to give? And Sudan isn't a distant land. It's not something far or, you know, it's in West Africa. It's distant from us. It's a part of the ummah, therefore we share that same pain. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all true understanding and tawfiq. Ameen wa khulamah.